welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and the beer you get at bottle shops. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me is my socially distant sidekick, Matt Prince.
What's up, Jeff?
I don't mean to imply that you are my sidekick, but it worked for the alliteration.
Hey, you know, I'd gladly be your sidekick, Jeff.
So just to set the stage for our listeners, we are now in week 7 of coronavirus quarantine. We recorded the first 4 episodes of the podcast in January and early February, and then we took a short break that turned into a longer one when the whole world shut down. And now we figured out a way to continue the podcast in a responsible way. I drove by your house and dropped off a microphone, and we're calling each other up on voice chat and recording our audio separately. But podcast mechanics aside, Matt, how have you been handling the quarantine?
I'm kind of getting used to it, which I don't think is a good thing, but it's just kind of naturally happening. My wife and I were both saying how it feels normal now. What we're doing feels normal, and we have a routine, and we do certain things, and I'm still ready for it to go back to the way it was before.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly gotten used to this sort of online existence where we call each other and we're friends over the internet. And, you know, if this happened in 2004, I don't think that we would be surviving it as well as we are, because we wouldn't have the opportunity to call each other like this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we are very lucky we're in the time we're in, because we have the ability to, you know, Zoom or House Party or any of these platforms where we can actually see each other's faces, which is really nice. So
speaking of not really being able to see each other, we're not in the room together, so I can't see what you're drinking. What are you drinking today, Matt?
I am drinking Wrench from Industrial Arts. They call it a Northeast Indian Pale Ale. You know, New England, Northeast, Hazy, they all kind of go in the same category. Just a different name for the same thing. I've had this before. It's kind of their house IPA, pretty accessible around these parts. I can get it pretty much anytime I want. Industrial Arts has been sending their house line, you know, Wrench, Torque Wrench, a few others down this way. And it's a really delightful beer. It's a single IPA. It's nicely hazy. It's very citrusy, which you expect, very tropical fruit, very delicious. You can get a full review of this beer on our website, so just look out for that.
shelfiepodcast.com.
Yeah, I'll use more fancy words to describe this beer and maybe try to pull out things that I don't even understand, but who knows.
And Industrial Arts is based out of where?
They're up in the Hudson Valley in New York. Okay. So yeah, which is like a big time beer scene now, so I would love it when life goes back to normal to go up there, hit up Suarez, hit up Hudson Valley Brewing. It's a hotbed for brewing right now, so another great one from them, and I'm enjoying it very much. What are you drinking, Jeff?
I'm drinking a fine can of the Snuffler IPA from Sterling Pig Brewers in Media. I got it at the brewery in a socially distant way. They have a really convenient little setup where you order online, you make your payment, you drive up to the back of the brewery, tell them who you are. They seem to be very trusting. And they'll just open up your trunk and put your order in the trunk.
That's really nice.
The Snuffler, Sterling Pig started canning a little bit ago, and the Snuffler and their Pilsner Schott is available, you know, all over the place. So it's a great local beer. It's a nice bitter West Coasty type IPA. I don't know what they would call it that, but it's, you know, it's a traditional American IPA.
Right. Yeah, I've had it before. I remember, I think that's the first beer I ever had from them. I was there on their opening night, and I, you know, looked at the list, looked for whatever the IPA was, and that was the IPA on tap, and it was delicious, and it was a fun experience to open that brewery up, to be there that night. And I'm happy you're enjoying one right now.
Now, Matt, because we're in this sort of pandemic situation, we have not had an opportunity to have a true bottle shop experience in a while. And I know that something you wanted to talk about is, you know, the things you miss, what makes up a great bottle shop. So I'm going to turn this over to you.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, what would be my dream bottle shop? you know, if I could have every aspect of the bottle shop handpicked and have it created, what would it be? Because right now, any bottle shop is a dream bottle shop because we don't go to them. You know, maybe you go to a distributor that is doing curbside, or maybe you go to a brewery that's doing curbside, and everyone's practicing safe, you know, the masks and the gloves and the hand sanitizer. But, you know, you want to put yourself in the best position to stay safe. So I've been thinking of what's my dream bottle shop. What do they offer? You know, what, how do they help you? How big is it? Do they order, do they offer food? You know, so I thought that'd be a fun thing for us to kind of just dream and dream of a better life than what we're in right now, and talk about what makes bottle shops great and what would be our dream. So Jeff, I'm going to let you start. You know, let's just start with something basic.
The one that popped up in my brain when you were going through these different characteristics is size, because our sort of home bottle shop, Pinocchio's, is very small.
Yes.
It's very small. You know, it's a great place. You know, there can be three or four, or, you know, up to maybe 10 people there enjoying a beer. And then there's room for traffic to come in and out and buy beers to go. But on a day where you have a big release,
yeah,
that place gets packed real fast.
Oh, yeah.
So size is important. So I would say that my dream bottle shop, you know, is maybe twice the size of that. There's maybe room for about 20 people to be hanging out, and then a lot of fridge spaces, and you know, there's still a lot of room to move around and, you know, search for beer while there's, you know, 20, 25, 30 people hanging out in the room. And right. I guess then the second part of that is that beer on tap,
yeah,
and the ability to hang is as important as anything else for me.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of funny you said twice the size. You don't want it any bigger than that, because my fear is always that it just becomes a really, really good beer bar. And I don't want it to be a beer bar. I want space to be able to go in and look at the, you know, look at the shelves, look at the coolers, look at the fridge space, and pick out my beers without feeling like there is this mob by me drinking. I don't want it to be rowdy. I want to be able to pick, and I want to be able to focus on that. But I like enjoying a beer there. It's nice when there's a few people there who maybe are seeing what you're looking at, and maybe they help you out with something. Maybe someone who's standing at the little bar area is like, oh, I see you're looking at IPAs, maybe you should try this, or I'm drinking this, you could get a crowler of that up here. I think I like that camaraderie. I like that ability to reach out to someone for some help, but I don't want it to be an overwhelming crowd, unless it's one of those special days. And by all means, those events are really fun. So that gets us to another thing, events. Do you like when your bottle shop has events, or do you feel like it kind of takes away from the bottle shop experience?
Oh, I don't think it takes away from it at all, Matt. I think it's really cool when they have events. Now, if it's every weekend and it's sort of taking over the identity of the bottle shop, sure, that might be a little overkill, but you know, to do something like Pinocchio's does, where they have an anniversary party every year of when they opened, and they have, you know, the Pliny the Younger Day, and they have, you know, when really special beers come out, people seem to find out and gather. You know, I enjoy that because it's another opportunity, like you said, to gather and hang out with people who, you know more or the same or less about beer than you, and you can swap knowledge and swap stories and give recommendations to each other. So, you know, I think it's a really good thing when a bottle shop puts together some kind of calendar of events where people can get together.
Yeah, you know, I love the way the Pinocchio's has kind of fit themselves in to Philly Beer Week. Philly Beer Week is a huge week that happens in the late spring every year, where bars all over Philadelphia have amazing beer events. Breweries from all over show up, breweries that you don't normally get beer from. Last year, Pinocchio's did a Philly Beer Week event with Bissell Brothers. And this was before Bissell was sending stuff down here pretty regularly. And Pinocchio's, I think it started at like, it might have even started like 8 o'clock. You got up there and the first however many people got a ticket. And if you got a ticket, you were allowed to purchase a mixed four pack from Bissell Brothers, and it was great because I'd been to Bissell Brothers before. They're one of my, you know, one of the really great New England breweries up there in Portland, Maine. And you could get, there was four different beers. You got one of each, Substance, Baby Genius, their blonde, their lager beer, and then another IPA. And it was just really fun, and you felt really kind of cool if you got one of the tickets. People were showing up like 45 minutes in thinking they could still get a ticket. The tickets were all sold out, but it was just a good environment because they had a lot of Bissell Brothers beers on tap. So it was kind of like a tap takeover, and you could get four packs, mix four packs. Those events are just fun. They promote breweries from elsewhere. It allows you to get tastes of things you might not normally get a chance to taste. Those events are just a great time.
So we've now got, we're sitting in a beer bottle shop right now that is, you know, just lower than the size of a beer garden.
Yes.
And it's a bottle shop that has some events where you can interact with people and maybe get some tastes. But it's not just the people who are customers who you interact with at a bottle shop. So let's talk about the ideal staff of a bottle shop. Right. You know, what to you is important in the staff of a bottle shop? Do you want to be left alone? Do you want them to greet you right away and give a recommendation? Is there a balance somewhere in between that you prefer?
Well, we've talked about this in past episodes that I get an email every week from Pinocchio's, my bottle shop. Comes out on Thursdays around 4 p.m. It gives an update of all the new cans and bottles that have been brought into the shop during the week. It also gives an update on what's on tap. So I usually know what I'm getting when I go in there. Sometimes I go in there blind. Sometimes I just go in there, see what's there, and pick something out. But I usually have an idea. But they also have this really great shelf. It's right by the register, and it shows all the new beers. And I'll usually ask the staff, have you had this yet? Have you had this yet? And usually it's Alex, who's the manager of the bottle shop. And he is so knowledgeable. He's usually had everything up there. And if he hasn't, he at least knows someone who has, and he can pass on the knowledge. I like when I can ask them and they can give me like feedback on the beer. I don't necessarily need someone to approach me when I get in there because I like scanning the shelves. I usually don't even ask right away if they have something. I kind of like to find it for myself. I don't want the experience ruined if they don't have that beer right away. I want to like search. And then because that moment when you see it on the shelf, you're like, yes, they still have it. Or yes, I didn't know if they were going to have it, and they do. So that's exciting to me. So I like a little space, but I like the people who work there to be very knowledgeable and able to give me their recommendations if I ask. What about you, Jeff?
So there's a shop in Ardmore called The Beer Shop, and it's near where you used to live. And the thing that I like about that place is it's got a staff that will, Pinocchio's, when you walk in, the register is at the back. And so you'll potentially scan the entire store before you get to the register. And that's cool if you get something like an email where you know what's in and you want to sort of search. The cool thing about The Beer Shop is you walk in and the register is right there, and the staff on hand will ask you if you're looking for anything in particular. If you say no right away, they'll just let you look. They don't care. They'll let you scan. If you are looking for, I want a really good Belgian, they'll know, and they'd be happy to tell you. So it's a good balance where you get asked right away if you need some help, and if you don't, they don't care. They're fine with it. And then once you bring it up to the register, once you bring your purchase up, they're, happy to chat with you about what you've bought. And that's a fun experience.
That bottle shop really allows for that kind of interaction because it's got such a wide avenue there. And so you could have one of their staff members talking to a few people over here with still plenty of room for other people to kind of work their way through. And they also have a bar in the back with some tables. They have a front sitting area, which is also nice. So there's a little bit more space there to have that interaction. Whereas Pinocchio's, if someone from behind the counter would come out and kind of show you around, it might get a little stuffy. So I think that's where size kind of plays a part.
I won't lie, Matt. When you asked me for the perfect size of bottle shop, that was the one that I had in mind.
Yeah,
I've been there, and it's easy to wander, and I can be a little bit of a wanderer.
They also do their new arrivals on a shelf at the front. which I think is key, because if you're looking for something fresh, if you're looking for something new, you look on that shelf. If they don't have it and you know that's a new release, you might not continue walking, but at least you know before you start that's where the new arrivals are.
I'll tell you what I don't like in a bottle shop, and it's not something that I see often here in Pennsylvania, but it's something that I've seen in New York, because space is at a premium. So you wind up with these bottle shops, which are really just liquor stores. I mean, we've said before, bottle shop is sort of a, it's not unique to Pennsylvania, but it's special in Pennsylvania because of the beer laws. But if you go to New York City and you're going to buy beer, you wind up in one of these liquor stores or whatever, and they're designed sort of like a maze where it's just cases on cases on cases stacked up, and you have to sort of walk through it to figure out where you want to go. And it's sort of like, in my mind, it's like the way IKEA is designed, where you have to walk through the whole, you have to walk through the whole thing before you actually get to the thing that it is you want to buy.
Yes.
And you know, I don't like that. I sort of like the choose your own adventure aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't want to go through a maze. I'm not a mouse. I don't want to find my way through a maze. I just want to be where the beer is. And I don't buy cases of beer, so I don't need to go through these cases. I don't need to be Harry Potter in the Triwizard Tournament. Like, I don't need to find any, like, I know where I want to be, and I know how to get there. Just like I want to be there right now, right when I walk in. Now, Jeff, a lot of times a bottle shop might not get cans from a brewery, but they might get it on draft. And what I like about Pinocchio's is they have a crowler machine. So even if they don't have cans there in the case, you can get 32 ounces of it canned fresh. And that's almost just as good. I mean, of course, a crowler does not last as long as a can. We know this. But if you get a crowler, I mean, you take it to go. You have two beers right there and you can get a bunch of different things.
The invention of the crowler was really key for both the brewery and the bottle shop industry, because it allows you to take home stuff you can't get in cans or bottles. It allows you to, you know, take home two pours of it. So, you know, two pints, and it holds for a while. Yeah. If you were to take home a glass growler of it, it would last the weekend if you keep it closed. If you take home a crowler, that thing could last 2-3 weeks. You can open it and, you know, it won't last indefinitely, but it'll last a good while if you can't get to it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just changes the experience, and it changes what beers you can get. It changes kind of everything about the bottle shop experience, because the fact that a bottle shop has beers on tap opens up a whole new take home option, which is great with the crowler machine.
So that's all stuff where if you're going to walk into the bottle shop and leave is important. You know, size so you can browse, staff that are helpful, perhaps drafts that are, you know, are to go. But what if you're staying? What if you want to stay and have a pour or two from the taps right there, which then naturally brings up the question about food. If you're hanging around, you want to have some food. If you've watched enough Bar Rescue, you know, if someone buys a drink, they're more likely to buy another beer.
Thanks, Taffer.
Right? Yeah. So if someone buys food, they're more likely to have another beer. So is it important to you that a bottle shop have A, food, B, their own food, C, good food?
You know, we're lucky. The two bottle shops that I go to most, that you've gone to plenty, are Pinocchio's and 320 Market in Swarthmore. 320 Market's a full market. They have to-go food. They have fresh produce. They have cheeses and meats and wine and all these. It's a specialty market as well.
Oh, yeah, it's almost like a second thought that there's an entire wall of amazing beer over there.
Right, and that's something that they added after the fact. It used to just be a market, and then they added an entire beer garden, bottle shop beer garden. Theirs is more beer gardeny because there's a lot of tables in the beer area. But I love the fact that my wife and I can go there 5 o'clock on a Friday before all the, you know, parents without young kids get there. We take our son who's, you know, 10 months old, and we can grab a table quick. We can have a meal. We can have a couple beers and be out of there by 6:15. I enjoy being able to eat a meal there. Pinocchio's, you know, before they added their beer garden in the back, their little bottle shop that they call a beer garden. Let's clarify there. It's not an actual beer garden. they're a pizza shop, and they're a pizza shop that's been in media for a long time. They're part of media's fabric, their history. I like being able to get a slice. I like being able to get a cheesesteak, or Jeff specialty, the mozzarella stick, you know, or you can go get a full meal. I mean, it's really your choice, but I think that's an essential part of the experience, especially if you're planning on spending a couple hours there. You can't just pound back beers and then drive home. You need, you know, to kind of balance it out with some food.
The two bottle shops, the two beer shops that I frequent that are nearest to my house, are called Beer Guys and Back Alley Beverage, and mm-hmm. neither of those places has food. Back Alley is connected to a deli, and so you know, they in the deli part they have four or five fridges, you know, where there's two of the fridges are dedicated to the American macros, and then there's a bunch of craft stuff. But the true bottle shop is in the back. It's sort of that sort of straddles line between beer distributor and bottle shop. But neither of them have food, and it's a little disappointing because it doesn't become a gathering place. It just becomes a shop. And something that I enjoy about the bottle shop experience is the gathering place and the talking. And so I do think it's important to have food. I think it's important to have good food. I've been to breweries and stuff like that where it's bring in your own food, or they have a food truck, and that's great. But you know, it's a lot better when it's connected to a restaurant where they have their own stuff, and you can stay for a little while and order something, and it'll take some time, and you'll enjoy a cheesesteak or a mozzarella stick while you're having their pour.
Now, Jeff, there was one last question about our dream bottle shop that I wanted to pose to you, and that's about the selection of the beer. Now, some bottle shops, they have a lot of local stuff, but they don't get in a lot of stuff, like rare stuff from elsewhere. And then there are some that don't focus as much on local, and they bring in a bunch of really cool stuff. But sometimes you want the local. Like, if I'm traveling and I go to a bottle shop, I want to be able to go in somewhere and get the local stuff. But when you are the local, the people who go there most of the time, you don't necessarily want the stuff you can get at the grocery store. So what do you think is the balance between local and not local?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about a bottle shop, a town where there's multiple bottle shops, I like the fact that there exists multiple kinds of bottle shops in the same town where you can get a lot of local stuff at one of them. And then if something rare is coming in, you know, you can rush over to this other place to get it. But, you know, if we're imagining a dream bottle shop where only one of them exists in the town, then I think it does have to be a good balance. I think it has to be, you know, 65% local stuff, or, you know, 65% regional stuff. So, you know, we're in Philadelphia. So, you know, from mid-state New York to Delaware and New Jersey. So like the quad state area is what I would consider local for us. And then you also need then about 35% stuff from far flung places, stuff from other countries, and rare stuff. What's your balance?
You know, I'm less on the local stuff. I mean, our definition of local is a little different. I'm thinking like Philadelphia area, Pennsylvania, maybe a little bit into Delaware, a little in New Jersey. I like when I can get stuff from elsewhere. I like when I can go into a bottle shop and find the rare stuff from somewhere else, something I can't get normally. Because a lot of the local stuff, you can get at the grocery store, you can get at the beer distributor. If I want Trogues, Victory, Yards, I know where to go. But when I'm just getting one can or one bottle, I want it to be something from elsewhere. And I like the fact that our bottle shops always get in the stuff. I mean, we've talked about it. You get occasionally Heady Topper and Focal Banger. And Bissell Brothers and Grimm, like you get a lot of breweries that you don't necessarily ever get a chance to have unless it comes to you. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
I think we're in the same place, Matt, where I think we're just doing it from a little bit of a different approach. I'm sort of imagining this is the only place in town where you can get any beer at all. Right. Forget the grocery stores and everything. But yeah, I think it is important that the bottle shop get something rare every so often. And you know, God willing, Matt, you know, we'll be able to go to a bottle shop soon.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you know, we'll keep going to our bottle shops and our breweries in a socially distant way and get, you know, our beer to go, curbside pickup, and we'll continue to enjoy beers and each other, each other's company over the internet, because that's what you got to do. So, and we encourage our listeners to do the same, go out and figure out a way to support your local bottle shop, your local brewery by, you know, picking up some beer. Everyone's doing a real good job of doing it in a safe way. And, you know, drink some beer to get through this whole thing.
Oh, you know, I will.
Yeah. So that'll do it for this episode of Take a Shelfie. You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. You can visit us at ShelfiePodcast.com, where you can stream new episodes. You can comment on existing episodes, and you can look at beer reviews that we're going to start posting. You can listen to us wherever you get podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on TuneIn. We're just about everywhere now, and we're really, really happy about that. So that'll do it for this week. Until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.